The scripture today is a letter that Paul sent to his friend Philemon while Paul was in jail. And in jail, he had met a man who was a slave and became his son, so to speak. So Paul is writing to his friend Philemon mostly concerning this slave. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am told I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carolyn. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke. If it is your tradition to stand for the gospel, I invite you to do so. This is short, so you have to listen fast. Are you ready? I'll wait till you get all settled, and you're settled, and you're standing and you're focused, and we can hear and listen, because it's only two verses. Listen carefully. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to switch communion with the sermon, so if you'll be seated, we'll change that order slightly. You know, the season has been interesting to me in this summer. Has it been a little warm this summer? Did anybody get a little warm? Were any of you singing that special song for warm weather?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
I'm told that it was actually written in a hot day in California at a La Quinta Inn in the middle of summer. Hot, 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 hot. How many of you are thinking about Christmas right now? Okay, good. Well, you know, some people are always in the middle of that. There is a movie by the name of White Christmas. Have you seen the movie White Christmas? Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, and Vera Ellen, amongst other people. It's an interesting, I'm going to give you just kind of a Cliff Notes version of the story of White Christmas. There's these, it begins in World War II, and there's this entertainer by the name of Wallace, and he has been inducted into the Army, and he's commissioned as a captain, and he is in the midst of an activity, and there's an explosion, and a wall begins to fall, and he doesn't see it coming, and a private, played by Danny Kaye, sees it and shoves him out of the way, saves his life, and in the process, he breaks his arm. He breaks his arm, but he saves Wallace's life. So Wallace visits him in the hospital, and he says, you know, you have saved my life for me. Is there, if there's anything I can do for you? Well, now Davis, turns out, wants to be an entertainer, and Wallace has a successful career as an entertainer. He says, sure, yeah. He says, as a matter of fact, you can take me on as a partner. Wallace is not very excited about it, but Danny Kaye rubs his elbow, you know, and, oh, remember that, you know, you owe me. You owe me. So it's a humorous gag that plays throughout the movie as different things. Whenever Danny Kaye wants to manipulate Bing Crosby, he'll say, you don't want me to, and then Danny Kaye will rub that arm about how, you know, he saved his life, and you owe me. I owe you. I owe you. It goes on, and they become partners in the act, and he manages to connect Wallace with Rosemary Clooney. So it's a romance. And, of course, in the end of the film, snow comes to a place that, you know, Vermont, isn't it? And it's been snowless, and they have the snow. But owing something to someone, that's what we read about in Philemon this morning. Caroline did a great job of reading it. Are you clear that Onesimus is a slave? Onesimus is Philemon's slave, and he has run away. He's a runaway slave. You realize that makes his life exempt. Philemon can kill him for running away. Well, Philemon can kill him anyway. But a runaway slave is punishable by murder. And so here is this runaway slave who has run away and has now become a son, if you will, to Paul. And so Paul is writing to his friend Philemon in Caesarea. And it's a humorous personal letter. It's the only example we have in the Bible of a personal letter. Paul writing a personal letter. All of his other letters are letters to churches or gatherings or groups. But this is a personal letter. And it's a bit humorous. There's a pun in it. We don't get it because it's in English. The translation doesn't work. But it has to do with Onesimus' name and the words useful and useless. But it's a pun that would make them chuckle at the time. And he goes on and he says, I don't want to say anything about the fact that you owe me even your own self. I'm not going to say that. And he says it in not saying it. It's humorous. It's a little bit of a joke, and he's playing, but he has a solid, serious message that he's conveying. I'm not saying that you owe me, but you remember that you owe me? Do you remember that you owe me even your life, is what he is saying. What would it be about? The tone is an important one, and he will go on in the letter now, and he will talk about Onesimus, this slave. And Onesimus has come to Paul, become like a son to him, and he says, I want you to take him back. We're sending him back because that's right. He's returning to you, but I want you to welcome him not as a slave, but as a brother. Now, slavery is an evil thing, but it's been a part of society. It's one we're not quite completely free of. There are places in this world that still allow slavery. And there are places that we're working diligently to try and eradicate that sin. But it's less about the people involved and more about finances. You see, if you have a slave, you can get work done without having to pay someone to do it. You have the slave to do that. You own them and their work, their material abilities, their gifts and graces. So this is a financial asset. Philemon is a wealthy man. You remember that Paul refers to him as the church in your house. He's wealthy enough to have a large enough place that they have a worship that gathers there, a group that gathers there, and he is able to sponsor that. And there is a sense that he sponsors Paul and his ministries as well. So Philemon is a man of wealth and power and authority. And yet Paul is saying, I know you, I don't want to lift the fact that you owe me, but I'd like this favor from you. Take Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as an equal, a brother, my son, someone beloved. We don't know exactly why Philemon owes Paul his life. Was there an incident where he was almost killed and Paul saved him? We don't have a clue, and the letter doesn't help us. Some scholars say that it is simply that bringing him to Christ saved his life, that it is in that salvation, but we don't know. How many of you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? It's a hard movie. It's a hard movie, graphic movie. I sometimes think that we've gotten too good at being graphic and realistic in our world. Painful to see the ultimate sacrifice that many of our servicemen gave their lives in the storming of the beaches of Normandy in World War II, and that's where the movie is set. It turns out that in those first days of fighting, that a woman by the name of Ryan, who has four sons, three of them have been killed in battle. The clerks writing the letters, "Dear Mrs. Ryan, we regret to inform you that your son..." They make the connection that she will be receiving three of those letters. And they begin to research and realize that there's a fourth. Her son, James Ryan, is missing somewhere in Normandy. In the confusion of the invasion and all of the scattering and all of the plans that went awry, James Ryan may or may not be alive, but they decide that they should make an effort to find him and return him home so that the mother has at least one of her sons. So this is what Saving Private Ryan is about. They task a captain, Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks, and they say, "We want you to go do this job." He's not very tickled with the idea that he's going to be doing the job because there are a lot of more important things, in his opinion, to be done. But orders are orders, and he follows them, and he takes his group, his squad, and they begin to search, and in their travels, searching for Private Ryan, several of them are killed. They lose their lives on that mission. They finally find Private Ryan. He's with a group trying to defend a bridge from a Nazi tank division. And when they tell him that his three brothers have been killed, he's crestfallen. He is aware that his mother is going to be receiving these letters. And Miller says, "You need to get out of here. We need to take you and go." He says, "But I can't leave these brothers, these soldiers that I'm with, and we have an important job to do here first." So he convinces Miller that they should stay and repel the Germans, and that then he will return. In the ensuing action, Captain Miller is shot and fatally wounded. Just before the Germans retreat, he is shot and he is lying on the bridge that they're defending, and he's bleeding to death. And James Ryan kneels beside him. And Miller turns to Ryan as he's dying and says, "James, earn this. Earn it." He's saying, "You owe me. My life, now your life belongs to me. You owe me. I owe you." So the movie doesn't quite end there. They go 50 years into the future. An old man, he returns to Normandy with his family, his wife and his grown family. And he stands at Captain Miller's headstone.
And he questions to his wife and to Captain Miller, did I live a life worthy of the sacrifice made for me? It's a poignant moment. It's an important movie. It's a heart-rending movie. It's a tear-jerking movie. And it reflects on the positive gifts of those who gave the ultimate sacrifices. But it reminds us that just as Ryan owed his life to Miller, we also have someone who has died for us. We also know someone who has made the ultimate sacrifice. Somehow we want to distance ourselves from that and remember that Jesus' actions on the cross were 2,000 years ago. They were for all of humanity. I'm just one in the midst. And we don't dare do that. Have we contemplated what it means that our lives are ours and given to us, and our faith and our church is all an IOU to Christ? Perhaps we need to also pause and say, am I earning it? Am I doing a job worthy of the debt I owe? That's a heavy message, but as Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I invite us to return to Christ in obedience.